Well, hello. Welcome to Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds podcast. There are lots and lots of IT professionals who work in the industry. These IT jobs are so exhausting mentally, there isn't much time left for such folks to make clever decisions about their investments. Most are unable to put their money in the right asset classes. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. I have worked in corporate America in IT and in business organizations for 25 years. My goal is to educate IT professionals like you about the benefits of passive investing. I will be passing my knowledge and will bring guests who have done very well in their careers and can explain the process and advantages of passive investing. So, let's begin. Well, hello, hello. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. You are listening to our yet another podcast on passive wealth for high-tech minds. Today, I have a distinguished guest with me. I know Chris and I probably would have started in real estate approximately the same time because I remember talking to him when I started my journey in real estate. Chris, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here and add some value to your listeners.
Sounds good. So Chris, just a little bit about Chris. You know, Chris attended Wharton Business School and Winthrop University. He has successfully transacted more than $40 million in real estate volume and helped lead many projects in Carolinas to produce more than $140 million in annual sales prior to creating QC Capital. He's named to Charlotte's 30 Under 30, Elite 40 and Elite 50 entrepreneurs. His skills goes on and on. He has quickly gained recognition and notoriety for his hard work and dedication. You know, he's chief operating officer of his company, obviously in real estate. He's skilled in sales management, teamwork, leadership. He has demonstrated strong business development ethics. He has worked with a lot of multifamily real estate professionals. QC Capital is a national multifamily investment company which has acquired, which acquired more than 100 units, you know, across major Southeast market. And basically, Chris is leading this company. And I have seen Chris doing this over the last couple of years, and I'm totally mesmerized.
Thank you so much.
Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the wonderful introduction. I do appreciate it.
Yes. So, I mean, Chris, as we were talking earlier, you know, we primarily discuss about, you know, how folks like you and others, help high-tech professionals, gain financial freedom, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know that these high-tech professionals, you know, I was in IT job and these people are really, really skilled folks, and they do what they do best, and they get paid a lot, and their mind is consumed. Because they do what they do best, their mind is usually consumed in what they do, right? And
yes,
they really don't have insight into investing. Investing is investing in stocks and bonds for them, nothing else.
Or listening to your financial advisor, that's it.
Or listening to a financial advisor for that matter. And you and I know that, you know, financial advisors are there, but they are there to make money too. From your money. So really speaking, what financial advisor advises you to put in a bond or a stock, they end up making more than what you make.
Right? Very much so.
So my goal of this podcast is to educate these people, kind of tell them the basics. You know, why and how they can safely invest in recession resistant asset classes and still be able to make money. You know, still be able to make money. So we are not asking them to quit their jobs. We are asking them to make wise decisions. So that's the purpose of the podcast. But I want to ask you, you know, I know I told a little bit about, introduce you a little bit, but tell me a little bit more about yourself, you know, in terms of, you know, your unique journey in real estate or before real estate, what has transpired in your life for you to come into real estate?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the main reason why I decided to venture into the real estate industry prior to QC Capital being created, I was in the single family space. So I was in real estate for about 3.5 years prior to that. And before I even got into the industry, the main reason and what attracted me most to this industry is it's a necessity. We all need shelter no matter what's going on. You know, right now, stock market's low. We're seeing inflation at an all-time high. I just saw reports come out today around 8.6% when it comes to inflation. We're seeing it at an all-time high, but people still need a place to live at the end of the day. So you're not going to take that away. And so we're in a business that's a necessity. And I've always wanted to be in a business that's a necessity because it's recession resistant. No matter what happens, people need a place to live. The benefit of, you know, investing passively in these large multifamilies is that you're de-risking your investment due to economies of scale. You're not investing in one single family house that's in your neighborhood. You're investing into a 100, 2, 3, 400 unit apartment complex, and you're using the economies of scale to really leverage the power to de-risk the whole investment. So that's the main reason why I got into the multifamily space.
So basically what you are saying is, the need, it is a need-based solution. It is not a leisurely thing that somebody needs to get into multifamily. You felt the need that everybody has to live.
Correct.
Fundamentally, everybody has to live, food, shelter, and clothing. These are the basic three fundamental necessity, and shelter, among being one of the three, is as important as food and clothing. And you jumped into multifamily, and there would always be demand in that. It is sort of a resistant, recession-resistant space, you know.
Very much so.
Whether there's a recession or not, people will live somewhere, right?
Yes. You need a place to live. You're not taking it away.
They won't buy the expensive cars, if something goes wrong in their lives, but they will still need the place to live.
That's correct.
That's a good way of getting into. But tell me a little bit more, how does it work, for somebody who is busy? How does it work for them? How it looks like. Give me some mechanics.
That's a great question. And we have a lot of passive investing partners that partner with us as passive investors into our acquisitions and our deals that we have. And for those individuals who, are unfamiliar with how it works, there's a great thing that we are going to be releasing in about 4 to 6 weeks, which is going to be a booklet to help passive investors gain knowledge on investing in their first syndication or their first fund. And so we're releasing that here to help individuals gain the knowledge. And in that book, I can give you a little nuggets that are in the book, is that it's really educating yourself on what you're investing in. If it's going to be a multifamily syndication, if it's going to be senior living, hospitality, you name it, self-storage, educate yourself on really what is attracting you the most. And then from there, dive deeper into it. I always say interview multiple operators. The big red flag for me is if an operator does not invest alongside all their investors. That's important to me. All the investing partners that we have know that we as a company and myself personally invest alongside of them. Into each deal. We want to make sure our interests align, and they know that our interests align. Also, know the property, know what type of asset class, if it's a C, if it's a B, if it's an A, what does renovation or what does CapEx mean? How much are they going to renovate? What is their business strategy? So the best thing to do is first educate yourself. And they're already doing that by listening to this podcast or viewing it. They're already doing it. So you're already a step ahead for those who are listening and viewing this, is that you're gaining that knowledge. Once you gain the knowledge and you feel comfortable and you're interviewing other operators, from there, that's when you start really looking at the deal, looking at the operators, their track record, their business strategy on the deal, and then also what's going on in the market. Now, for tech professionals, I don't expect them to know everything that we do because we do this full time. And I'm not going to want to know everything that the tech professional does because he or she does that full time. That's their expertise. So there's definitely going to have to be trust involved. If you're starting out with your first syndication or your first investment into a fund, you're going to have some trust, and you're going to build that trust by interviewing those operators and in really getting a good understand what your business strategy is. I think we've all gotten spoiled over the past 2 years where we can buy a property, put no money into it, and sell it in a year for our five-year performa. And trust me, yes, take advantage of that opportunity when it arises. However, you know, with the market shift, and as you know, we were chatting a little before this recording, you know, the market is shifting and we're seeing that. And I always, we were talking about it this morning as a company. I think investing partners should expect a longer hold period than a 3 to 5 years. I think they should start expecting a 7 to 10 year hold period. On top of that, I think, in my opinion, investing partners should look to invest into a fund to mitigate the risk of just investing into a one-off deal. Now, you know, I think that's very important to have that understanding, is that when you invest into a fund, you're investing into 5 to 7 deals. So you're mitigating the risk overall compared to just a one-off deal. I think it's very important. And in the way the market is going right now, I think it's very beneficial and smart to go that route as a passive investor who's busy, you know, with their tech job, but also have that capital saved up that they want to invest.
Very well put, Chris, thanks for your insight in, you know, answering this question. And I would like to take a step back a little bit more. I mean, as a tech professional, you know, folks are not connected with anybody. They do not know who the operators are, right? I mean, yes, there's a little bit of research required, but help me understand how a tech professional should navigate into finding a good operator, into at least creating that awareness in his mind, because you know how it is. You know, our memory lasts only for a few days. Today I'll listen to the podcast and I'll forget about it after a couple, you know, after a week.
Yeah,
nobody would remember that Chris said something. So it is a lot of work for them, at least to start finding the, you know, creating these. I mean, I'm just coming in from my background, okay? I'm an immigrant. I work 9 to 9 and I do not have time even to find
an operator.
I do not know what an operator means, what a multifamily means.
Yeah.
How should they get involved? I mean, what is something that comes to your mind? And I'm putting you on the spot right now.
I love it. Yeah, no, I think it's a very important question. And, you know, as you are a very busy tech professional, you know, you also have to time manage your time properly to build wealth, to reinvest all that money that you're accumulating into other asset classes. And with doing so, I think one thing that a lot of tech professionals can utilize is social media to their advantage. A lot of operators and sponsors on social media, and you may not know what an operator or sponsor is. An operator or sponsor is someone who manages and controls the deal. For example, QC Capital is an operator and sponsor. We manage and control the deal, which means that we locate the deal as a company. We do the due diligence. We then present the investment opportunity to our investing partners, which are passive investors. And from there, they then go ahead and sign the subscription documents and then invest into the deal as a passive investor. Meanwhile, for us, they're receiving monthly distribution with monthly updates on how the property's performing, also quarterly financials. Any other questions, they email it into us and we answer those questions. After that, they really just get the mailbox money, they call it, or we direct wire. We do have some investors that like mailbox money, but we do direct wires, deposits into the accounts. But they just sit back and they let us control the property, run the property, and perform it to the business strategy. We then will go ahead as sponsors and operators, know when the right timing is to sell. And then from there, we'll sell 1031 that into a new property. And so to find sponsors and operators, social media, Facebook is a very great tool. LinkedIn is a very great tool to get into closed Facebook groups, to get on there and to start networking and building those relationships. You're going to have to start somewhere. And I think that's going to be the easiest way to start is a Facebook social media. You can also start Google. We have a lot of leads that come in on a monthly basis organically from Google because they Google real estate companies. They Google 1031 tax benefits. They want to know that things, and we pop up and they inquire. So Google is another great source to find real estate private equity companies that focus on acquiring multifamily or any other type of real estate asset class.
So in the end, you said real estate private equity company, right?
Yes.
I think that is the key for somebody to understand. If they want to invest in real estate, they should potentially go to Google and look for private equity companies.
Correct.
And, you know, who knows, QC Capital will pop up, and hopefully My Realty Gains may pop up too. Or go to Facebook and type private equity company groups.
Yep, they'll pop up.
And there are a lot of closed groups which you find. And potentially you request to join them and become part of those groups and just watch, sit back and watch
it. Yeah, and listen to podcasts like they're already doing with this one. You know, listen to podcasts. It's very important. We have a podcast that we release, the Mindful Multifamily Show. You know, podcasts are a great way to gain knowledge. There's tons of podcasts out there about real estate investing. Type it in, start listening to a couple podcasts. And one thing we do is that when there's a new investor that comes, we voluntarily give them a list of references that they can call that are our current past investors that have invested with us in deals. And they can call those references to get an idea from their perspective on how we operate, what they like, what they don't like. So as a passive investor, I encourage you to talk to those operators, talk to those sponsorship groups, and ask them, hey, do you have a list of references you mind me calling? They should say yes. If they say no, that's a red flag in my opinion. They should say yes, and give them a call and talk to those passive investors that passively invested into that sponsorship team and ask them, you know, how do you like it? What is it? What are the pros? What are the cons? You know, shoot it to me straight so you know I know and I feel comfortable.
Awesome. That's a great point you made is that, you know, you guys give your own reference list voluntarily to these new people. That builds a trust right there.
Very much so.
You are not afraid of anybody saying wrong thing about you, because obviously, maybe there's nothing wrong that you have done or nothing happened with any of these investors, and you feel confident that you probably will win this new person also by giving them these references.
Yep. Awesome. We volunteer that information. We don't wait for it to be asked. We automatically say, here it is, you know, feel free to give them a call.
Awesome. So how long do you think, what is the learning period for these new folks before they get into the deal? I know we have 506B and 506C, two different things, right? So how do you handle that? I mean, how are your deals and how do you handle that previous relationship that needs to be maintained
with
the operator or their company?
Yeah, great question. So we operate as a 506C, C as in Charlie, which means that we are only able to take accredited investors, and we do that with a third-party verification. So any potential investor that is interested in investing alongside of our firm as an investing partner, what they will do is they'll inquire with us when we have an opportunity or our fund that we're about to release. Once they inquire with us and they go ahead and they like everything they see and they want to make a soft commitment, we then go ahead and get them verified by a third party verification company that verifies them that they do meet the SEC requirements of an accredited investor. Once they do meet those requirements and we get that letter, we have that into their file. From there, they go through the whole process of making a soft commitment, signing the docs, and then wiring their funds or snail mailing a check-in, whatever is preferred. That's how we operate. All of our offerings are a 506C, as in Charlie, so they're only open to accredited investors.
So you kind of said that they go through the whole process. I mean, I just want to remind the listeners that whole process is not that you have to spend week to do that process?
No, it can get done with how we have our system. I've seen it done within 10 minutes. That whole process done within 10 minutes. Now, you know, obviously each individual person operates differently. You know, we're speaking to tech people who know computers very well. So, you know, I expect that 10 minutes to probably be 5 minutes with their knowledge and education on the tech industry. However, you know, there are some clients that it may take 20 to 25 minutes. What we've seen, it can take less than 10 minutes to go through the whole process, get verified, and sign the docs, and then to fund the investment.
Awesome. That's what I wanted to clarify to my listeners. That
thank you for process, that.
Yeah, this process is not cumbersome at all. As long as you have made your decision, as long as you have done the background research, as long as you have talked to the references which Chris might have provided, and you feel confident, the investing part is really a cakewalk. It takes maybe 15 minutes of your time. And once you invest, after that, as he said, you know, it is more of a mailbox money.
Mailbox money,
easy money, doesn't mean that you remain complacent. Somebody else is working hard for your money, working hard with your money, trying to generate returns. The returns that you potentially cannot generate yourself if you were to spend your time to do business yourself. Because here, you know, like real professionals are doing, working on your money.
Basically. Very much so.
Right?
That's right.
So I would like your thoughts on this point, you know, which I just made. How do you see, you know, people say that I'm going to own the real estate. I'm going to make money. How do you compare that with investing in a syndicate like this? What are the advantages? I mean, level of returns, you know, somebody can give, you know, so...
level returns can be very profitable if you manage the deal by yourself. But, you know, like you discussed or at the very beginning of this conversation, is that you're working 9 to 9. You're working 12-hour shifts. Do you have time to manage? Do you know how to manage? Do you know how to analyze the financials? You know, so if you're doing it all on your own, you know, those are some very important questions. Are you willing to take the risk to manage it on your own, to take away from your 9 to 9, your 12-hour shifts that you're work, you know, that you're working from, you know, I guess, Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, maybe 7 days a week? Are you willing to take the risk to place that capital to buy your own deal just because you want to buy it yourself and you want to run it yourself? Are you willing to take that risk with the demand that you're already having with your current employer? So that's going to be, you know, risk. You have to analyze that risk for each individual, whereas you can take that money, go ahead and analyze the risk on a sponsorship team, interview a sponsorship team, gain the trust and the bond between you two, and invest passively, and you don't have to worry about anything. I take that back. You don't have to worry about the hands-on day-to-day. Now, each investment has risk. You know, each investment you can lose money. However, you're mitigating that risk by investing with a professional. You don't want to call me to come handle your tech stuff on your computer. I am not the person to do so. You're going to want to call a tech individual we use Mac here. You're going to want to call a tech individual at Mac or at Apple to come fix anything that's wrong with it. You're not going to want to call me to do so. So why would you want, you know, to go ahead and handle that when you're going to take the risk? A lot can happen and you don't have the time to do it in the first place, whereas you can just passively invest, get that direct deposit on a monthly basis, read the reports, and any questions you have, email those questions, and then move on.
So what you are really saying is because these investments are being managed by real professionals, you know, you being a real professional in what you do, properties are being managed by, in some cases, third-party professional property management companies, you know, banks are involved, they are watching these transactions very closely. They are auditing on a quarterly, six-monthly, or yearly basis. And on top of that, you have SEC regulations that you are following. I mean, a lot of people are watching.
Yep.
You are not doing some goofy stuff behind the back.
You can't. I mean, you know, if you are, you're bound to get caught and slip up with the you know, with the type of transactions. Now, give it that you can't buy a bad deal. You know, you can buy a bad deal. It can go south. That's why it's important to have a team that underwrites very strictly to a business plan that they have. And, you know, you have that trust in them compared to trying to do it all on your own.
So one is trust that we understand. Second is the ability, you know, our mind could, you know, go haywire at time. It is regulated. You know, whatever Correct. You do, it is regulated. It is not that anybody can just come in and, you know, tomorrow, you know, you go on vacation and somebody can start, come in your place, start screwing up. That doesn't happen in this business. That is what I'm trying to communicate is, yes, you can build that trust, which comes slowly, but it is regulated environment.
Correct.
Right. And with all the professional help that you have on the ground, through that, you are able to, you know, gain the maximum benefit out of the project, I would say.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, you know, that's something that, you know, is very important, is that we're regulated. We have bosses. Our boss is the SEC. You know, we have certain filings we have to file. We have SEC attorneys that have to file, you know, blue sky filings and updates. And all of our PPMs are public. So you can go to the SEC website, sec.gov, and search up our PPMs for any of our deals, for any of our funds, and look what they are.
Yeah, awesome. So great conversation, Chris.
Yeah.
What has been good and bad, you know? Let's start with bad, you know, in your journey.
Well, I always like to see the positive out of things. So, you know, I would say the negative part that we're seeing, especially right now, is the debt market changing, bridge really slowing down, which, you know, normally gives more leverage and ready, you know, Freddie agency, Fannie, they are, you know, offering lower leverage, but that's the way to go right now with fixed rates. Due to volatility in the debt market and interest rates and also inflation. So the way to go, in our opinion, is staying fixed and going with an agency type of debt. And with doing so, it's lower leverage, higher raise, but the returns are still very strong from what we've seen, and cash flow is still very strong. So we're seeing that right now at the moment. Positive out of that is you're in a fixed deal for long term. You have multiple options. And at the end of the day, you're buying a physical asset that is cash flowing. It's a necessity. We all need shelter, and I love it.
Awesome. So basically, in terms of returns, I know some of the folks would not know what bridge is, what Freddie and Fannie are, but just for their purposes, these terms are used. These are the lending terms.
Yes.
You know, whether we are getting the money from government-backed Freddie and Fannie organizations, or we are taking money from bridge lenders. Bridge lender returns are typically variable lenders, but Freddie and Fannie are mostly fixed. Fixed program.
And you got to keep in mind too that, you know, Freddie and Fannie, which are fixed, and then Bridge, those are your largest investors in the deal. Yeah. So they're doing the due diligence. They're getting the appraisals. They're making sure it's a good deal because they are the largest investor in the deal, and they want to make sure their money's protected as well. And, you know, you don't have to foreclose and they have to do a short sale or hurry up and get rid of it. So
that's the property manager. Basically, you know, lender is the one who is putting more money in the deal.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure the deal goes north. They never want to go, they never get into a deal. Lenders are not your friends. Obviously, they are our friends, you know, on phone, but they are there to make money, basically, on their
well said.
Right? And they want to make sure that the deal is a deal. It's not capability or your capability. It's lenders' money. You know, they want to make sure that they make money on their money, and they do everything to make sure the deal is a solid deal.
Very much so. Spot on with it.
Very good. Very good. So Chris, how are you seeing the returns for our investors in the current market? I know the market is a little bit volatile right now, and I'm not trying to scare my friends here, those who are listening. This is about June of 2022.
Oh, yeah.
but still, I would like to know, how has it been so far, and how do you see that progressing going forward?
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes to the returns, especially for our type of investing partners, we've educated them that returns are anywhere from 12 plus percent IRRs. That's what we're focusing on, is 12 plus percent IRRs. Our 12% IRRs are bare minimum that we would really look at. And you got to keep in mind, that's still a great return at the end of the day. And you're also parking your capital into a physical asset that's going to be cash flowing, compared to the volatility of the stock market, which we're seeing right now, and which we're probably bound to see for the next couple of years, due to the market and where we currently sit in the market cycle. So, you know, it depends on your appetite and what type of deals. You know, we offer a 9% preferred return option. We also offer a 7% preferred return option for our investing partners. And you can anticipate of anywhere 1.5 to a 2.5x on your capital, which basically means if you invest $100,000, and you are anticipated to receive a 1.5x multiple, that means that you're going to receive your $100,000 back and also $50,000 as a profit. So 1.5, you're going to receive your $100,000 back plus $50,000. If it was 1.8, you'd receive your $100,000 back and then $80,000. That's something I like to look at when I personally invest, is what's my equity multiple. IRR can, you know, be shifted with every little thing you do in your model, because it's considered, it really plays a factor into time and anything else. So we're really not IRR driven. We're cash on cash and equity multiple driven.
Awesome. So, I mean, to our listeners, you know, in simple terms, 100,000, just by putting in a deal and sitting passively watching it grow, you could make as much as 50, 60, 80, or maybe 100,000 on top of your 100,000 back within a span of 3 to 5 years, you know, or maybe more. Sometimes, you know, as Chris says, 2.5x, you know, those are the returns that potentially can be achieved.
Yes.
You guys achieve those kind of returns, Chris.
Very much so. Yeah, we've had three very successful exits, and right now at the moment negotiating our fourth successful exit, which we are in those ballparks of achieving those returns. Our passive investing partners are very excited to 1031 their capital into a new deal with us. So, you know, we are rocking and rolling when it comes to it, and we're very excited for them.
Awesome. So that's good news. Obviously, you know, people are listening to it and they are noting this point that these kind of returns were possible and are still possible if you end up investing with a good operator, you know, like QC Capital.
Thank you.
So here we are again talking to Chris Salerno. How do you pronounce your last name, Chris?
Salerno.
Salerno. Okay. Yep. Sorry about that. Sorry.
No, don't worry. No worries.
So, I mean, the purpose of the podcast, once again, is to give the knowledge to everybody, for that matter, although we say that we are talking to tech professionals, give them the knowledge how they can find good operators, how they can vet them out, and how they can invest
and very much so
gain the benefits, reap the benefits of their hard work that they put in day in and day out in their jobs. I mean, all these folks, you know, typically have, you know, upwards of $100,000 to $200,000 saving potentials. You know, you go to Bay Area, you know, husband, wife are earning, they potentially are earning $300,000, $400,000 a year, you know, with all the, you know, and they're potentially saving a lot of it.
Yep.
And where do they put? I mean, either that money is sitting in the banks or that money has to be invested somewhere. So what we are saying is, you can invest in asset-based investment vehicles, which
that's
are
right.
recession resistant and which do not wipe your capital, like what you are seeing today in June 2022,
yep.
how the stock market is doing.
Well said.
Tell me a little bit more. I mean, what is your thoughts about stock market and what is going on in the real estate?
Yeah, not a big fan of the stock market right now, or even crypto. So not a big fan of it. Do I think Eventually it'll rebound eventually, but right now at the moment for the next year to 3 years, I'm not a big fan of it. I think we're seeing a lot of opportunity right now because the prices are slowly decreasing in the multifamily space. Now is the time to park your capital, in my opinion, in the multifamily sector. If it's with the fund, if it's with the syndicator, now's the time because we have this beautiful window where prices are slowly coming down. Inflation is an all-time high. So the feds, in my opinion, are going to spike interest rates to try to, you know, hedge the large inflation that we're seeing. But eventually in the next 4 to 7 years, this inflation, I would hope, would go down. And then the feds would slowly tick down the interest rates. Possibly we'll see, you know, what happens then. But now is the time to take advantage of the opportunity and park capital into these investment vehicles like a fund or a syndication, that you are acquiring a physical asset that is cash flowing, that is a necessity that people need. When it comes to the stock market, that stuff's not a necessity. I mean, one day someone can tweet and you're down 25% on your capital. You know, that's not right. You're not going to tweet and knock the multifamily building out. You know, if a hurricane came, great, we have insurance, they'll cover it. But you're not going to be able to tweet and take 25% off of our net operating income.
Awesome, very well said, Chris. How can our listeners reach out to you?
Yes, the best way to reach out to us is go directly to our website, qccapitalgroup.com. On the top right-hand corner, you'll see it says Become an Investing Partner. Click on that tab, fill out the information, and one of our investing investor relations team members will be in touch with you to see if we are a good fit for a partnership and to see what your goals are.
Awesome, Chris. Thank you so much once again for coming onto this podcast and sharing your valuable inputs. Can't say thanks multiple times, but I feel
yes. Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be on and add value to your listeners, and looking forward to adding more value in the near future.
Thank you again, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. As usual, you can reach me via my website, www.myrealtygains.com, and via email, prashant@myrealtygains.com. I would love to hear from you and talk to you about specific needs you may have. Please schedule an appointment with me via my website, again, www.myrealtygains.com. Stay tuned for next podcast. This is Prashant Kumar, signing off for today.